Today's daf in Masechet Chulin is daf Kuf Tet Vav, and we were a bit behind, so we're holding on Kuf Yod Dalet Amud Beit, and we had just learned the halacha that the makor, one of the possible makorot of the Isra of Achila Vosar B'Cholav, was from Lo Tochal Kol Tu'iva, that anything that is prohibited is Memela prohibited B'Achila. So if the Torah said, do not create this thing, then if you go ahead and you do create it, then the results are osur. And we wanted to know, why is that an Isra Hana'at? Only says, Lo Tochal Kol Tu'iva. So the answer that was given was that Rabbi Abahu Shita is that by definition, the words Lo Tochal, Lo Tochlu, Lo Yochlu always means Achila and Hana'ah, unless you're told otherwise. Because we have the Makor where we're told otherwise, and clearly that is the intention of the Pasuk. So when it says what to do with Lo Tochal Kol Nevela, Legera, Shebesharecha, Titnena, V'Achala, and so on, what is it going to tell me what I'm supposed to do with it? Must be to be Matir to Hana'ah, but otherwise you wouldn't be allowed to do anything with it. That was his conclusion. Now, we were in the middle of discussing a Machlokas Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. We actually just got up to that point. We took only the Rabbi Avu Drosh. However, the truth is that there's a Machlokas in the Gemara of Tanoim about how to understand those mitzvahs that are involved in the Netina to a Ger or the Mechira to a Goy. So let's take a look one third of the way up. And we were up to Ditanya. Lo tochlu kol nevela, la gera she b'sharecha titnena v'achala, o mechor lenochri. So it gives you two options over here. Either you can give it away to a ger. This means a ger toshav, obviously, who's still eating nevelot. He was not mekabel on himself anything but the sheva mitzvahs. And yeah, you could sell it to a goy. Now, this seems to imply that it's got to be done like that. You can either give it to a ger, or you can sell it to a goy. How do I know that I could sell it to a ger? Well, because of the way the pasuk is set up, it could be read in different ways. You could read, la ger asher b'sharecha titnena o mechor. So in other words, what it did was it put the two verbs together, and it put the objects at the front and at the end, which gives you an awful lot of options because you don't exactly know which verb applies to which object. So if you read it, you can either lager titnena or mechor. And how do you know la'ovit kochavim b'netina, that if you wish you can give it to a goy? Well, that too, I could read the two verbs together, titnena or mechor lenochri. So in other words, what it boils down to is nimtza echad ger v'echad ovid kochavim, bein b'mechira, bein b'netina, div Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, it's not telling you anything specific, it's just being matir, the devela in hana'ah. Now, according to the Gemara Pesachim, indeed, Rabbi Yehuda, who has a different drasha, wouldn't really necessarily back up Rabbi Abu. Because according to Rabbi Avu, it's not coming to tell me that you're allowed to be nena, it's telling me specifically what you're allowed to do with it. So comes on Rabbi Yehuda and he says, no, the Pasuk means exactly what it's saying. Devarim kichtavam. You have to do it this way. It's lager benitina ula'ovikuv kochavim b'mechira. So that you do not have really the right to give it to an ovik kochavim as a gift. You have the right to give it to a ger as a gift. So the reason you don't have a right to give it to the ovik kochavim is because this becomes the makor of the iser of not giving gifts to Ovid Kochavim. Because the Rishonim asks, well, what happened to Lo Techanim? Lo Techanim itself should be a lav, in which you're not allowed to give. It means various things. It means Lo Techanim, Lo Titenem Chanaya Bekark. Lo Techanim means don't say something nice about an Ovid Kochavim. Oh, what a beautiful getchkat or whatever. So that's Lo Titen Lehem Chin. But another is, lo titein lehem chinam, meaning mat chinam, don't give them gifts for free. So if that's the case, we already know this. What is he coming to say? That it's dvarim kichtavan. So some are matarets that this is coming to tell you an asay. So we don't have an asay, we only have the lav of lo techanim. However, what's interesting is the Rambam only brings the iser from this parasha. The iser he only brings from this parasha. He does not bring from lo techanim. So there's a whole discussion. So what does the Rambam do with the lead? Some understand that the Lo Techanem is the reason that we darshan it this way, because otherwise we wouldn't come up with the idea of our own. But that the Isser Be'etzem is an Isser Aseh, but Lo Techanem being a general indication because it means so many different things, which is the Rambam sheet in general. Okay, but just to keep in mind that there's other issues that are involved over here in giving a gift to a goy. The question is, well, what would be the Havamina that you're what, not allowed to give a gift to a ger? Tosfos says yes. Yeah. Why? This drives everybody crazy because of the fact that they have a complete misunderstanding of our attitude to gerut. So Tosfos says the reason is because if he's going to get free gifts from you of nevelas as a ger, so why should he become Jewish? What do you mean? We're not interested in encouraging him to become Jewish, are we? That would be ridiculous. I thought we were against getting gerim. This is what bothers all the Achronim, because that's it. So when the Ebenezer says, what's the chiyuv of bringing a ger up to Hakel? Supposed to bring a ger toshuv to Hakel as well. Says the Ebenezer, because if he sees the Hakel, he's going to be despoiled and want to become Jewish. We don't want anybody to become Jewish, chas v'shalom. This is the whole attitude. But we discourage gerut. They actually think that there's a mitzvah to discourage gerut. There's a total misreading of the whole inyan. All of the activities of discouraging that we do, as we've spoken about many times in the context of Rus, the discouragement that we do is to make sure that the determination of the gerut to become Jewish is against any influence whatsoever of religious extortion from the outside. But obviously, we daven on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur for the Shechem Echad, for Malchus Shakai, for Yakiru Kol Ma'asecha, but we don't want them to become Jewish. It's absurd. But the whole point is that we're trying to show people the emes. Obviously, that's the Shema Yizbuchu Zivchei Tzedek that we're going to read on Simchas Torah. The Aliyah to Yerushalayim, in which they're going to be despoiled, and they'll say, wow, there's nothing on that. They all bring Zivchei Tzedek to become Ger. So it's like a classic. You can't imagine how much discussion there is between the Achronim. What would Tosfos mean? Why would we want him to become Jewish? I thought we were supposed to discourage him from becoming Jewish. Something that fundamental. Anyway, what can you do? So, okay, so Tosfos says, yeah, so maybe that would be the Havamina. So therefore, okay, you need to know that Elochinami, we're being matir. We don't, so on the contrary, you're supposed to support him, you're supposed to help him. Now, the question is, of course, what is this supposed to mean? If I have a ger that I can give it away to, so I don't have a right to sell it, who have to give away my nevela? I can't make money on my nevela. I'm running a butcher shop, I have a nevela, I have to give it away to a ger, that's nuts. Who's going to believe such a pshat? Okay, so they're trying to discuss what would this mean. Tosfos's response is that we're not talking about where you've got a lot of goyim to sell nevelas to. On the contrary, we're talking about where if you're going to sell a nevela, then you're going to fetch almost nothing for it. Because there's no market for it, because the goy knows that he can put you into the corner aisle. I don't buy nevela, I only buy kosher food, sorry. I mean, if you give it to me for 10 cents on a dollar, I'll buy nevela. So in other words, there, if you're faced with the question of making almost nothing and having to lose just and then you can give a nesina to a ger, so then give the nesina to get to a ger before the mechira to an akum. But even that's a stretch, because what if I want the money? And I'm a b'chuyev to give a gift. What if I want the money? So here again, the question is, when we're talking about nesina and the ger, are we talking about a nitzrach? If he's an ani, then it's good for coming to tell me that there's an inyan of supporting a ger. Fine, that could be. But others say, look, it's very pushy. The question first has to be established in your own mind. Do you want to sell this or do you want to give it? If you want to give it, there's a mitzvah to give it to the ger. That's all that it's saying. If, l'maisa, you're going to sell it, so then the nevela said, sell it to a goy, that's fine. But if, obviously, it's not telling you how you're supposed to act. You have to decide what you want to do. That's all. Okay, in any event, again, we're just bringing up some quick sugyas. We need to do this quickly. So I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. It's coming to tell me gufa halacha. And my time at Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, because Isaac, Rabbi Meir, if Rabbi Meir is right, that the posik is specifically leaving open the two verbs to be joined to either of the objects, then lichtav rachmana lo tochlu kol nevela legera shebisharecha titznena ve'achala u'mechor. Oh, says it's an option. If you were really putting together the verbs, that it should use the conjunctive vav. It shouldn't use or. Or is telling me that there is meant to be a difference between the two. That these are two different options. Ela must be shmamin ela dvarim kichtavam. It's telling me option number one is preferred. Germanatina. Lovid kochavim b'mechira. Rabbi Meir says no. O is indeed meaningful, but it's only meaningful to tell me which is preferred, not which is permitted. You're telling me it's a din in permission. That's not the point. What it's telling you is to be marked in the tina leger, the mechira for Novit Kochavin, as we just explained with the Tosfos. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do I need a pasuk to tell me that it's a bigger mitzvah to give to the ger than to sell to a goy? Obviously, it's a bigger mitzvah. The tina leger, the mechira, the Novit Kochavin, to be marked lo tzirichro, it's a svara. Because, look, zeta mitzuvela hachayoto. You are mechuyev to take care of the ger toshav. That's the point. So he gets full social security benefits, so on and so forth. No, seriously. You're mechuyev to handle him exactly the same as you handle the ezrach. The ezrach and the ger baretz of the same din in all of these two. Obviously, why would I not want to give it to him? So that's a portion of Svarah. So it's coming to tell me that it wouldn't have said, oh. If it's coming to tell me, oh, it's got to be telling me it's not a question of your of being allowed to switch it. You can't give it as a gift. Now, again, obviously, when it says you can't give it as a gift, the Gemara, we just had the Gemara before, as Tosfos points out, that you're allowed to send a Gidan Asha to a Goy without taking it out as a gift. You're not allowed to give a gift. What is that supposed to mean? So when we're talking about a gift, we don't mean a gift where every gift has a purpose. As the Gemara says, you're giving a gift to a neighbor, it's not a gift. It's a buying plan. You're pretending it's a gift. I mean, we understand what it means. It means you're buying the relationships, you're buying the return gift. There's no such thing as gift. You're not giving something away. You're giving something for value. So it's an exchange, like any other exchange. The fact that you want to call it a gift, when in reality the exchange is not a monetary exchange, doesn't make it a gift in the Torah terms. So that's not what we're talking about. We mean literally to give it a gift. Okay, that's something else. Of course, that's not going to exclude every case in a mission of saying you can't send something to a goy. You can send whatever you want to whoever you want. That's not called matnat chinam. Okay, continues the Gemara with some very fascinating questions. According to this shita, that Rav Ashi claims that Bosav Chalav is osir because lo tochal kol nevela, rather, kol tueva, that is so broad that it should osir many things that nobody ever thought were osir. But if you tell me anything I'm not supposed to do, then in having done that, if it creates, at this point we mean, if it creates something, then that thing should be osir. I mean, that's like weird. So then, if somebody's b'chal Shabbos, he turns on the cholent on Shabbos, so then it's kosher tiyaftilach, it should be osur b'chila. I mean, that's not to say there aren't gezeiros, the rabbanan, b'chnei sheyaseh, for the other people, if someone was done for, but the whole sugya we had earlier. But, I mean, according to this, it should be this to the arisa to eat something that was cooked on Shabbos. It was something that was betuav, so why are you allowed to eat it? So if that's the case, yes, the Gemara. Ma'aseh Shabbat litzru, do tiyaftilachahu. The Torah says not to do it. So why is it mutter to eat it? Says Gemara, it would. The truth is it would be osur. Except that the Torah was megala that it isn't. Because Omakro, ki kodesh hilachem, he kodesh. The point is kodesh hilachem means it's the Shabbat per se that's kodesh. But there's no other element that has a kedusha, meaning a separation. So in Maaseh Kodesh, whatever is produced on Shabbos is not Kodesh. It's the Shabbos that's Kodesh. Okay, but Eirochiyami, if it wouldn't be for that, I would have extended this to mean even Shabbat. Okay, asked the Gemara. So, Choresh B'shor U'B'chamor, Chosein Pipara V'dashba, let's say somebody hooks up Kilayim to his plow, and he plows a field, and now he grows bread, that bread should be Aser. Or if he is dash, the wheat, and he winnows it by closing up the mouth of the para so the para can't eat from what it's stepping over, then I should not be allowed to eat that bread. Because it was created through an act that the Torah prohibited. It was tiavti. No, come on. I mean, if Shabbat, which is so chamur that it's a chiyuv misa, and nonetheless the Torah said ma'aseh mutarim, so obviously, ani lo koshke. Now this seems to undo the whole drasha. And so if that's the case, so then there's no longer a drasha. You say the Torah was megal on Shabbos, not to understand on anything that isn't worse than a chiyuv misa of skila. What's that? On anything that is less chomer than Shabbos or as chomer as Shabbos, it doesn't mean kosher tiavti l'cha lo tochlu. So then what does it mean? So why would it include basar b'chalav? So now there goes, we might as well throw out the whole thing. If you're going to start telling me, I'm going to learn out from Shabbos to anything that you tell me should be included, so we should learn out for basar b'chalav as well. So here, the Gemara is taking for granted that we have been sweeping under the carpet an obvious difference between the questions that we're asking and the application of the drasha, the way that we use it for basar v'chalav. It's obvious. And that is, well, I can't say it's obvious because some Rishonim use one approach and others use another approach. But, I mean, there is an obvious approach. One approach is, the way Tosfos explains it, that when it comes to Shabbos, what it is that was done wrong is not nicker in what it is that you have. In other words, the fact that I cooked this on Shabbos, the Isser of Shabbos is not clear in the Cholent. So it happens to be that the Cholent was made on Shabbos. That can be translated into a more forceful answer, which other Rishonim use, which is that the only time that we're ready to say Koshi Tiavti Lecha, now that we have Shabbos, is where there would be no way that this could have happened without its being the Toiva that was Tiafti. Basar v'chalav is usur to cook under any and all circumstances. If I have a pot of basar v'chalav, then I know that it was a Dovash Tiafti. Can you produce bread without putting a muzzle over the pot? Absolutely. Can you bake cholent without cooking it on Shabbos? Of course. So what does that have to do with kosher Tiafti? It's coincidental. It happens to be you did it on Shabbos. It happens to be used as Shor v'chamor. You could see something to do with Shor v'chamor. That's Tosfos' point. But more deeply, the Shor v'chamor has something to do with the fact that this is made. And a tractor wouldn't have done just as good, if not better. It's irrelevant. It's coincidental. So if it's coincidental, we're willing to accept that we'll use Shabbos as the model for coincidental elements. Where over there, we don't say kosher tiavti l'cha. Memela, anything other than basar v'chalav, which we've seen so far, we're going to now get back to other things that are not coincidental, but, or that are perhaps less coincidental. Now you'll see why Tosfos wanted to avoid the stronger interpretation. Ask the Gemara, okay, what about keloi zeroyim? Now, over here, you plant two different species together. Now, obviously, you could have planted these species separately. So, the strong interpretation is not as strong. So, what we have over here is we have on one extreme, we have the very object is not only the creation of the Toeva, it's the only possible modality in which it could have existed. On the other extreme, what we're talking about, the Shor v'chamor yachdav, the Chosim Pipora, it's neither. It's neither the creation of the Toeva, because it's fully coincidental, nor is it nicker in it, nor is it necessary. So it doesn't have anything in common with Shabbos. The Kloy Zeroyim is in the middle. Why? Because the Kloy Zeroyim is a direct result of the actual Tiavti. The way in which I planted this, it's planted by Yisr. It's the direct result of the planting. Over here, the bread that I make is not the direct result of my muzzling. It's not the direct result of my hooking up these two animals. But here, it's literally the direct result. So Bimele, at this point, we believe that that is not actually implicit in the Shabbos drasha that says that it's mutter, and because only he has to have a little maaseh. This would be more than maaseh. This would be the direct result of the kosher tiavti. So Kloya Zerb should be Yasser, because tiyavti lecha. Ah, yes, that's true. But since midigalei rachmana gabi kiloi hakerem, the Torah is indicated when it comes to kiloi hakerem pen to gdash, which we darshan, pen to kad eish, to tell me that kiloi hakerem is usur if you plant things in a vineyard, but kiloi zroyim are not usur. So therefore, we understand that that's dafka by kiloi hakerem. Mikla dekla Izraim are actually mutter. Well, how do you know that? Maybe pentukdash is a function of Israhanar. Pentukad esh means you got to burn it. Can't do anything with it. So maybe that's what's unique about kiloi hakerem. Kiloi hakerem is asur b'hanah. Kiloi Izraim are only asur b'achila. But that still allows you to create an Israh achila, which we do not know about. Nobody ever said that kiloi Izraim are asur b'achila. But according to the drush of kosher tiyafti lecha, then kloy azraim should indeed be asur b'achila. So the ema kloy kerem asurim bein b'achila bein b'hana'a. Whereas kloy azraim b'achila asiri b'hana'a sharu. Okay. I have another answer. The other answer is this. Itkush l'kloy b'hima. Actually, kloy azraim are compared directly to the mixing of animals. Because look, it says, Behemtecha lo tarbiya kelayim, Satcha lo tizra kelayim. By the way, you'll note the continued thematic consistency of the sugya, in which Basar B'cholav, mating different species, mixing different species, cooking, all of these issues are all included in the same general umbrella. We want to know why some of them would be viewed as kosher tiyafti. Here we're extending it into the kosher tiyafti sugya. But it's a beautiful continuation from yesterday's daf. So here too, since the Torah compares mating animals with planting different types of seeds, with satchalot tizrakilayim, all in the same pasuk, it teaches us ma behem techa hayotzei mimena muteret. So just like you mate different animals, whatever comes from that mating is muter. It's not usur. How we know that, we'll see. But clearly, and that's literally Basar B'cholav. There it's nicker, in terms of Tosfos. It's the direct result, in terms of the strong interpretation. And, not only that, it's the only way to achieve that result. You're not going to get this particular mixed animal unless you made it two different species. So there's no way out of it. It ought to be usur, but it isn't. Therefore, since Torah compares this to Klai Zerayim, it must be that Afsatcha Hayotzei Mimenu Mutar. Okay, I accept that, but I just don't know, how do you know it? I mean, why can't I question that actual halacha? Why? I'll ask it as a question. Why should we not say that mated animals of different species, the child should be prohibited? That's the question, no? No. Kloy Be'im Agufayim Inolan, very clear. Because Midiyosar Achmedek Yelayim Legavoa, the Torah specifically Asers utilizing mixed species for hegdish. You can't bring this a korban. So minam beima is not kelayim. Therefore, it's clear that if I need to aser it for hegdish, it must be for hedyot. It was muter, because otherwise I don't need a riboy for hegdish. Anything that's aser for hedyot is aser for hegdish. That's bimashke yisrael. So the Torah says specifically it's kelayim is aser for the mizbeach. Must be that it's muter for non mizbeach. So that's a given. Once that's a given, I can now extend it to Kla Yisrael. So you'll say, so how do I know it's true about Basar B'cholav? That's not a problem. Because obviously, Kla Yisrael can be achieved without the Kelayim. Basar B'cholav cannot be achieved without the Kelayim. Very simple. So, therefore, we can no longer ask from Kla Yisrael. Okay, how about Oto Ve'et Beno? Okay? Torah says, don't shecht the child. You have a piece of meat, which you shechted on the same day as the mother. So why isn't that considered to be usur? Because it's the direct product of a preparation that was usur, albeit not mixed in the same way, although, of course, we did compare it to mixing in the previous daf, so it's still consistent with our approach. But it's definitely a tiyavti lecha. No, because there, too. Midi usur rachmana mechusur zman legavoa. If the Torah asers an animal that still needs to wait, whether it's no law, it's not yet on the eighth day, so it has to be Miyom HaShmini V'Ala, or whether it's because it is a notovet Beno, so you have to wait until tomorrow. So the Pasuk asers using that for a korban. If that's the case, must be Michlal Delahediot Shari, must be Bunter for a normal person. Okay, how about Shiluach HaKein? Now Shiluach HaKein, Rashi learns, in his opinion, he brings another prophet, he says, in my opinion, the question is this. You're not allowed to take the mother. The moment that you were not allowed to take the mother on the child, the Torah was ti'av lecha, taking the mother. It says, do not take this mother. At that point, that mother should become aser b'achila, because it was something that ti'avti lecha. Therefore, any bird that I sent away in order to take the child should be aser b'achila. That's how he understands the question. Now he says the alternative is that if you went ahead and you did it be'iser, then there's still a mitzvah of shalach to shalach, which we learn out. So it's lava nitik laseh. Suppose you went ahead and you took the bird be'iser. Now you're going to be mitake the iser. If I say, okay, never mind, I'm not going to shech the mother, I'm going to send the mother away. So there the question is, since the Torah said to you that you're not supposed to do it, so then it must be that it became usr. That's the pshat that he was a makabah. He says that this you're missing what Rav Ashi was saying. Where did Rav Ashi say that anything that an avera was done to, that means you're not allowed to eat it because an avera was done to it? That's not what Rav Ashi said. He never suggested such a thing. If that would be the case, if you made it two animals together, forget about having a child. You did an issue with these animals. So if you did an issue with these animals, then you're not allowed to eat them. Whoever said such a thing? Where do we ever have such a job? I mean, did the Gemara ask before that if you made it two animals together, it should be usher? It was only where the act that led to the product is prohibited. It's not the fact that you did the issue. Why the heck would anybody suggest that I needed to take it first by issur? Why is that the point? It's not the issur that creates the problem. It's the original ti'avti lecha that creates the problem. If I told you not to take this to eat it, then at that point you can't eat it anymore. So once that happened, you're right. It only, wow, what a shame that I found it together with the child. Okay, fine, but you weren't supposed to take it. Whether you did take it or you didn't take it is irrelevant. At that point, it becomes also b'achila. So if the Torah says, shalach esa'im, forget about whether you took it to Israel. The moment that you send the bird away in order to get the eggs or in order to get the child, that bird should become aser. Why do we never find such a thing? No, that's obvious. As the lo amra Torah shalach l'takala. The Torah is not going to tell you, send something out there in order to screw someone over. In other words, this is Osir, but it's okay, you'll never know. Just send it away. I mean, does that make sense? Now, the truth is, it makes perfectly good sense, and this is a very serious problem to a lot of Shitas among the Rishonim. The reason it makes perfectly good sense is because the person who finds it and eats it is going to be allowed to eat it because of Bitul Berov. Or, more importantly, because of Parish Min HaRov. If I find something, I have no reason to say that it's usher. I mean, you're going to tell me that rove of birds were aims that were sent away from their children? I mean, so there's one in a million birds. It's usher. Do I have a right to eat it? Absolutely. So how am I? You're not being machshumi. So it's like shalach l'takala. So first of all, this creates a profound philosophical problem. Because the philosophical problem is, and this is a big machlokas rishonim, we touched on it earlier, and I mentioned to you that we're going to touch on it again. When something is mutter to eat because of rov, does that mean it's mutter, or does it mean it's mutter for you to eat it even though it's us? The implications here are that, well, because of the statistical issue, you have a right not to worry about it, but too bad if it was usher. You know, it remained usher, it didn't change. So therefore, the Torah would not have said something Isser should be left out there for people to eat. Why would you do that? Now, that's by no means muskam on all of the shitas. We raised this question where you had one piece of meat that was nevela that fell into two pieces of meat that were kosher. Okay, so now, you eat piece number one. I'm allowed to. You eat piece number two. I'm allowed to. You eat piece number three. Now you've definitely had an aveya. Is that okay? Was it not an aveya? Is one person not allowed to eat all three? Because then he's definitely eating aveya. That's where it's nogea. So, b'shum ponim v'ofen, not everyone agrees that one person, Tosfos suggests maybe shemala d'mecha d'tzosser, al shita of the Rajba, but it's definitely, you can't say on the basis of this gemara, shalach l'takola. That bitul barov, albeit this is not bitul barov, this is pre-shemana rov, but the kosher can. Anyway, the other possibility, again, this is all very just surface dealing with some really interesting issues. But the other possibility is that this relates back to the chiddush of the Zra B'Shela of the Nazir. And what was the chiddush? That the Torah says, go do this in the first place. Cook the entire thing together, even though some of it is also for the Zra, and only mutter for the Kohen, but cook the whole thing together. Yeah. So you're telling me that, what, Bitol Isser L'Chatchila is an Isser D'Oraisa? That's a big machlokas Rishonim. Most Rishonim hold that it's a D'Oraisa. It's a Tekanon D'Rabbanan, not to be Mevatel Isser L'Chatchila. So what's the big tradition? Well, here it's saying basically the same thing. I'm not going to say Shalak L'Takala. It's exactly the same as the tradition of Zerua B'Shela, right? It becomes Mutter because it's Bato B'Shisha. But you don't want to do that up front, do you? So something's weird if the Torah said to do it up front. Why is it weird if the Torah said to do it up front if there's no problem of Bitul Isser L'Chatchila? So obviously, there's another level of saying Shalach L'Takala, which doesn't necessarily mean that the person is going to be nitkal in it personally. What it means is the Torah is not being mafkir Isurim. The same way that it's safe, even if there's not an Isser of being Mavatal Isser L'Chatchila. But this is not the normal way of dealing with Isser. So what, you're telling me that the Torah would say L'Chatchila, take the Isser and mix it with something else? I mean, doesn't that tell you something about the nature of the uniqueness of Zerua B'Shela? So the same way over here. If it's telling you the modality of dealing with an Eim al Habonim is send it out. I mean, that's outrageous. It's the same type of question that they ask. The same type of question that they ask about. How could you need the Nes of Hanukkah if you're allowed to use Shemen, that's Tamei, for the Menorah because it's the Tzibur? It's exactly that type of question. You're allowed to use Shemen, that's Tamei. Yes, you're allowed to use Isser, that's Bato L'Chatchila. But this is the way to do it? You're going to be mechanic the Beis HaMikdash. This is the way to do it. Take Tamei oil and be mechanic. But it's stupid. Nobody in his right mind would do such a thing. Obviously, you're not going to be mechanic the Beis HaMikdash with Shem and Tamei. So it's the same exact type of question. Is this the way the Torah would do it? No. It's an obvious understanding that if the Torah says send it out, it's not telling you to send out Isser. Don't give me all the drushes about whether, well, but it's only the Chatchila not to be mechanic. That's not the point. Okay? All right. Anyway, yeah, exactly. It's just not—it's not a normal anoga in the same way that that's the chiddush of Zerua B'Shela. Okay, Omer Reish Lakish, I have a different approach. I say minayin levasa b'cholav sha'asur. It's from a rather interesting place. It's from the Korban Pesach. How is it related to the Korban Pesach? Well, it says about the Korban Pesach, al tochlu mimenu na. Ubashel mivushal. You're not supposed to eat it partially cooked or if it's boiled in some way. Now, you do not have to say bashel mivushal. You just say, well, bashel. What's mivushal have to do with anything? She'in talmud lomar mivushal. Ma talmud lomar mivushal. Lomar lecha. Yesh lecha bishul acher shu kaza. It's obviously telling you there's another Isser bishul that is like the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach that is na, or bashel, is usher to eat. What are we going to do about the door? We have to put... Yeah. Does it work, the buzz for me?
Yeah, press 6.
We're going to keep waking
up
Ima.
Phone?
Huh?
Somebody's sitting with her.
Oh, someone is still sitting with her?
Yeah,
right, but we're going to need to
put up
a sign, just walk in.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? So it's obviously referring to another Isser Bishul. And what is that? The only one that we know of. It's Basar B'chol. Lo tavashel gedi b'chalei v'imo. Bashel mevushal. The other Isser of Bishul is just like this one. And just like this one is Usser to both eat and b'hana'ah, because it needs to be burned like all kachim psulim. So too, Basar B'cholov is in the same state. That's where I learned it from. Lay Rabbi Yochanan. You get some problems with Rebbe's drasha, like you think Rebbe's drasha is ugly or something. I mean, this is prettier to you. To Ura Zush Shana Rebbe. And what, Rebbe's drasha is ugly? That you think this one is nicer? Rebbe learns it out from Lo Tochlenu. What's this Lo Tochlenu? There it's talking about the din of Psulei HaMukdashim. So it says over there, Rak Adam Lo Tochlenu. So if you Toyda Psulei HaMukdashim, do not eat the blood. Ala Arz Tishbachena Kamayim. And then it repeats again, Lo Tochlenu, don't eat it. We know that Lo Tochlenu, Laman Yitav Lecha, and so on. That Lo Tochlenu cannot be yet another Isser of Dam, of which there are dozens. So what is it about? It's telling me not to eat something. So that Lo Tochlenu is talking about Basar B'Chalav. Continues Rebbe, Ataomer, but Basar B'Chalav, that seems to be picking something out of a hat. I say, Basar B'Chalav, maybe it's stam something. It could be anything. Maybe it's Kloy's Roim. I don't know. I mean, how do you know to say Lo Tochlenu refers to Basar B'Chalav? Ah, because you're forgetting something. Amrit. Seilumad, Miyud Gimel Midot, Shatara Nidrashat Pam. An important one of the Midot that the Torah is meant to be understood is called Dovra Lamed Meinyano, which means you need to contextually confirm what something is referring to. Okay, what is the context of Psulei HaMukdashim? Psulei HaMukdashim are a mixture of Shnei Minim. Now, gee, that really does have something to do with everything we've been talking about. How in the world is Psulei HaMukdashim a mixture of Shnei Minim? So Rashi says it's a mixture of Shnei Minim because it's partially Kodesh and it's partially Chol. It's Chol in that you're allowed to eat it, but it's Kodesh in that it's also Begizah, Vaveda has all these other dinim. So it's partially Chulin, partially Kodeshim. Tosfos says that's not the point at all. They're Kishnei Minim because they're compared to Tzvi V'Ayal. HaTameh V'Tor Yachtav Kitzvi V'Cha'ayal. Out of which we learn that there might even be problems in mating a Psulei HaMukdashim cow with another Psulei HaMukdashim cow because it's a Tzvi V'Ayal, it's not a cow. So each individual Psulei HaMukdashim is viewed as a mixture. Magically. Again, this is not the place to discuss it. But this is Tosfos's pshat. So, since we're talking about mixtures, either Rashi's approach or Tosfos's approach, therefore, we need to talk about another mixture that it's telling me Lo Tochlenu. And what would that be? That is, B'Shnei Minim, Hafka B'Shnei Minim, referring to Basar B'Chalav. Now, why didn't we yell at everybody who said a pshat until now, Ku'ura Zu Shoshana Rebbe? This is the first alternative. What happened to Kosher Tiafti Lecha? There's dozens of other limudim. We're going to be talking about some of them here. Because we're only asking Ku'ura Mashashana Rebbe because it's exactly that type of limud. You pick out of a hat a different sugya. You're talking, Rebbe was talking about Psulei HaMukdashim. Brings the Rai of Lo Tochlenu. Reish Lakish is talking about Korban Pesach. Brings the Rai from Bashar Mevushal. You want to apply it to something else. She's saying, Bashem Uvushal applies to a different Isser Bishul. Rebbe says, Lo Tochlenu applies to a different Isser of Shnei Minim. What was wrong with Rebbe? I mean, you're not adding anything. It's not any clearer to bring it from Bashem Uvushal. So what was the problem? We already have a drasha like this that existed years before you were born. What are you coming along here? What's wrong with this drasha? Answers, Rish Lakish, I'll tell you. Because if I only had Rebbe, I would say, okay, Lo Tochlenu. Lo Tochlenu means don't eat it. The way I learned it out from Korban Pesach, it was Asur Ba'ana, like Kachim Neder Nifsolim. So it makes more sense to learn it from there. That's all. I wasn't saying it was ugly. Therefore, I need to know my drush. That's not a bad point. So how does Rebbe actually know? From Lo Tochlenu, the Yisra Hana'a Minole, Nafkale Mihocha, that he learns out from a different pasuk. Because Nemar Kan, Ki Am Kadosh Atal Hashem Elokecha, it says specifically in this pasuk, Lo Tochal Kol Nevela, which ends with the non sequitur, as we saw before, of the Lotav Hashem Gidei Bachalei Vimo, from which we came up with the Hekesh, too, particularly the Nevela and Basar B'Chalav. But it also throws in another issue. You are a holy people. Now, that has to be seen in relationship to the alternative to holiness, which is Lo Yiyeh Kadesh B'Vnei Yisrael, obviously a play on words. So Kadesh means dedicated to sex. So it's Kodesh, but that's its dedication. So it means a whore here. It means actually a male whore. So now, that means we're comparing Basar B'Chalav to homosexual whoredom. What in the world is the connection between them? Says Rebbe, it's very clear the connection. Whoredom is about having fun. So therefore it's Hanah. So it must be we're talking about Hanah. That's wild. Wild. Okay? Yeah.
Where do you see that it's homosexual?
Rashi. Kadesh B'Vnei Yisrael means Kadosh L'Mishkav Zachor. Not here, Rashi Chomesh.
Yeah.
So that's the case. But we wouldn't be able to learn in Yisra Achila necessarily because there are places where there's only Yisra Hana and not Yisra Achila. For instance, Suleim Mokdash. You're not allowed to be done from it, but you are allowed to eat it. It's exactly that indication. So we need now some other, besides the Lotochlenu, indication of the Yisra Hana. Devei Rebbe Eliezer takes another approach. It says, Lotochlu kol nevela. And then, Lager Hashem B'Sharecha, and then, Lotav Hashem Gidei B'Chalei Vimo. Listen to this brilliant interpretation. I learn that Lotav Hashem Gidei B'Chalei Vimo is a din in how to sell it. Sell it to the guy, but don't cook it in milk before you sell it. Because if you cook it in milk before you sell it, you won't be allowed to sell it. So therefore, it's telling you that it's Azarana. So for the first time, there's actually a connection between the two sugyas. So lo tevashlena v'timkrena, you mustn't cook it and then sell it. Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, I have a simple explanation. Basav Asher Gidei B'Chalei Vimo is repeated three times. Why? One is Kipshutai, which is the Yisra Bishul. But one is for Nisra Achila. One is for the Yisra Na'ah. One is for the Yisra Bishul. Tanya Isi Ben Yehuda Omer, V'nai lebasav b'chalav sha'asur. So if you're told, as Anshe Kodesh, that you're not allowed to eat treifa, so they must be telling you, you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav. Ah, but maybe that's only b'achila, like treifa. How do I know b'hana'a? I know b'hana'a as a kal v'chomer. Ma orla, shelo nevda ba'avira asra b'hana'a. Look, orla is osir, even b'hana'a. You didn't even do anything wrong. You just planted a tree, and it's still awesome. So for sure it should be awesome. Orla, that doesn't prove anything. Orla was never kosher. From the day you planted it for the next 3 years, it's awesome. But here we're talking about something which was completely kosher, and now you want to make it awesome. So how do you know you compare it to Orla? Well, Chometz B'Pesach can prove that that's not true. Chometz B'Pesach was kosher before Pesach. All of a sudden it becomes Osir, right? Now it's Osir Ba'ana. Yeah, but Chometz B'Pesach is an Isir Karet. This is getting complicated. Okay, well, Kloy HaKerem isn't an Isir Karet. So Kloy HaKerem should be able to prove that something which is not an Isir Karet is nonetheless Osir Ba'ana. Wait a minute. You're driving me nuts over here for a few reasons. If you could learn it from Orla as an Isra Hana'ah, then why the heck did I need the Gzeira Shavet to Treifa in the first place? This is the craziest thing. You're going around from the back. You start off with Treifa. You say it should be, but Treifa would only be Be'achila. No, because from Orla, I can learn Be'achila. Orla could have learned out Be'achila too. That's the first problem I have with what you're saying. So light the kula b'kavah chomer b'orla. Understand? Just bring a straight kavah chomer from orla, where there was no avera done. It's usher. Bein b'achila, bein b'na'a, basar b'chalav, which are cooked. So it's not zavah avera. Eino din shasur, bein b'achila, bein b'na'a. No, because you see, I can prove to you that that's not a warranted conclusion. Because let's say, someone is chorish b'shor v'chamor, v'schosim pi para. So now, that's exactly the point that Rashi made earlier. You did an avera. Does that avera cause something to be osur? No. So why would basar b'chalav be osur just because you did an avera? Nefta b'em avera, and they're still mutter. Once I know they're osur from treifa, okay, now that no longer is the point. It is osur. It's osur b'achila. Now, can I also say it's osur b'anah? Yes, but I can go to orla. But if I hadn't first known that it was osur b'achila, it would be completely unwarranted to conclude from orla that just because an avera was done, it should be osur b'anah. But if I understand that it's osur b'achila, now I can extend that from orla into being osur b'anah. Okay, so now can I tell you the other thing that was driving me crazy? Why the heck did you bring in kolaya kerem? You brought in kolaya kerem to prove. You said kolaya kerem will be mochiach. Now what? That it's not an onish karas, and it's asur b'anah. Orla itself is not onish karas, and it's asur b'anah. Why did you need to bring in yet another issue? Just say, if you're going to go to Chometz for Pesach, so I'll say, okay, but then I'll go back to Orla, and I'll make a ma'at sad. You can say, oh, but Chometz Pesach is ishakar, it's fine. Orla's not. Ah, but Orla had a shatak, never had a shatak kosher. Okay, but Chometz Pesach did. The common denominator is, fine. There you go. What did you need kolaya kerem for? Ask where lomid lamei kolaya kerem yochiach. All you needed to say was lema orla tochiach. You could have said your proof is from orla, and then you'll have to go back and forth. Obviously, you'll say ah, but orla didn't have a shasa kosher. So you'll look and you'll say malatzad a shavu shabbat. So lahader dina v'leitiv a malatzad, because then you could have brought it as a malatzad.